You're listening to Writing Snippets, the podcast about writing. Your hosts for today are...
Nicole.
Jocelyn.
Lauren.
Elena.
Lillian.
Alice.
Ava.
Okay, one of the hot genres in young adult fiction these days is what is called dystopian fiction. And it might not be getting as much shelf space as YA paranormal romance, but it's getting a lot of the buzz. So here to talk with us about YA dystopian fiction, once again, is author Elena Johnson, and her debut novel, Possession, was released in June this year, and it is part of this rising genre of YA dystopian fiction. So thanks for joining us.
Yay!
Okay, now first, I'm sure that we have listeners out there that are not familiar at all with what dystopian means, so I turn to our dear friend Wikipedia.
Fantastic, because people ask me and I don't know either.
Yes, here is what our dear friend Wikipedia had to say. It said, a dystopia is the idea of a society in a repressive and controlled state, often under the guise of being utopian. And dystopian societies feature different kinds of repressive social control systems, various forms of active and passive coercion, and it says a few more things, like, lots of times it deals with technology, and dystopian societies are often imagined as police states with unlimited power over its citizens. So, that's what Wikipedia says. You've actually written one. Okay.
I just thought a dysfunctional utopia is what it is in general.
Yeah. Right? Kind of, yeah. I think so. I think that's what it sums up. Okay, so what do you have to add to Wikipedia, Elena?
Oh, dear. I don't know if I can add to Wikipedia.
Just put the words possession
there. I took a class at a conference once by Robinson Wells, and he talked about dystopian and what's dystopian and what's not dystopian and that kind of thing. And he had all these fancy terms for different kinds of things, like post-apocalyptic and dystopian and blah, 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 blah. But I mean, he's really smart. He knows all that kind of stuff. To me, anything that's post-apocalyptic is dystopian, and people are probably really mad about that. But if it's post-apocalyptic, it's dystopian novel. It's a futuristic thing. And to me, when people ask me, I always say it's like a utopian society with a fatal flaw. And so I think all dystopian societies have some sort of fatal flaw. And that's typically why there's a resistance or a rebellion or something like that, because those people can see that fatal flaw and they don't, you know, that's what they're fighting for, is for that fatal flaw to, like, be fatal and, like, kill the society or whatever. But I really like that definition where, you know, you've got this societal control and it's like a police state and people are being coerced to act a certain way. I can see that in a lot of the novels that I read, so...
So, for people who have never read dystopian before, obviously the first thing they have to read is Possession.
Of course.
But what are some other ones that might give them a good introduction to what dystopian is?
Well, The Giver, of course, is fantastic. And if you have not read The Giver as a junior high student, then you should read it as an adult, because it's wonderful. And I'm not really sure I read it in junior high. I probably should have, but I was not the best English student when I was younger, and I skipped a lot of the reading assignments.
Watch the movies.
I didn't even do that. I just sort of faked my way through. And but yeah, I think The Giver is fantastic. I love Birthmarked by Kara M. O'Brien. I love Matched by Ali Condy. I love Divergent by Veronica Roth. And I love Delirium by Lauren Oliver. James Dashner has a great one in The Maze Runner. I think all of those are really great. And of course, most people know about The Hunger Games. That's a dystopian novel. So if you know any of those, I think they're all really good ones.
I just read The Forest of Hands and Teeth.
Yes, I love The Forest of Hands and Teeth by Carrie Ryan. That's a great book. That whole series is fantastic.
So there is lots of stuff out there to choose from. Why do you think that these kinds of stories are so appealing to today's youth?
Well, I think they're appealing to teenagers, especially because they live in an oppressive state. You know, they're not children, and so they're not being told what to do all the time, but they still have people telling them what to do all the time. You know, their teachers are always telling them what to do, and you have to turn in your assignment this way, or you don't get any credit for it, you know? Even if you do the assignment, if it's not turned in the right way, you don't get any credit for it. And maybe that's just my son in his 8th grade classroom, but if he does not turn in his science folder in correct order, he gets no credit for it, even if all the work is done. And so you have people, your parents, your leaders, your teachers, everyone, youth do, telling them what to do all the time, and it has to be done this certain way. And so I think they like reading books about other teenagers who are in, obviously, a more higher stakes society with, you know, death and bigger problems than just your science folder isn't in the right order. But that those kids can overcome those people or those problems, I think they like to read about that. And as adults, I think dystopian novels have great crossover potential because we have bosses and we have leaders and we have, you know, you can only drive a certain speed, like there's speed limits and there's laws and stuff. And I think those laws are good, well, except maybe the speed limit law. But I like to drive really fast. But, you know, we have things that we have to conform to also. And a lot of times we're going, why? Why do I have to conform to that? And we want to live our lives the way we want to live them as well. And so I think dystopian novels, we can see that passion and that fight in the main character, and we like that.
Yeah.
And it is sort of, there. It's a little bit of a darker genre, but hopefully, and it doesn't always resolve itself super well, like they don't sell off on the white horse. But I do think that there is something resolved in the books that's satisfying to us, that they fought against the system, they won this battle. You know, they may not have won the war, but they won the battle. You know what I mean?
Did you say sail off on a white horse?
Sail off on the white horse into the sunset.
Pegasus horse.
Because didn't you know? That's how
horses sail.
And they lived happily ever after.
Yeah, you know, not every book is happily ever after. I like the ones that are most of the time, you know. But.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too, is that I've read several where it either ends on a darker note or on sort of a bittersweet note where not everything is happily ever after. What's the appeal in that, do you think?
Well, I'm a huge fan of tragedies. I really like tragedies. And if you've read my book, you can probably tell that. But I like tragic endings because it makes me feel something. I like to feel when I read. And so for me, I like to feel something. I like to feel something for a character, and I like bad things to happen to them so that I can feel something for them as they overcome or whatever. And they don't always have to overcome. It's okay for me if they lose. To me, half the battle is in the fight, and the fact that they're fighting at all is good. And I forgot the question. See, I told you. Didn't I tell you that would happen?
Yep.
What did you say?
Just what's the appeal in the darker
ending? Oh, in the darker ending. So the darker ending, I think, is it's true to the story, is what I think it is. And readers want an ending that is satisfying and true to the story and the character and the world. And as an author who is writing a 3-book series in a world that is very dark and very repressive and very, you know, controlling, it's very difficult to overcome that in a few hundred pages. It's not going to happen, you know? Yeah. Rebellions and changes and things that happen in our world, they go on for years and years and years. And so it's really hard to enact, you know, all of this change with a 15-year-old and have it come about authentically and real in a novel. So it's hard. And so I think the ones that have ended, you know, The Forest of Hands and Teeth is over now. I can't wait to see what The Death Cure is from James Dashner. Because that's a 3rd book, you know what I mean? And to see Mockingjay in the Hunger Games trilogy sort of like wrap up. And I really like that not everything is perfect. And maybe everything is resolved in a satisfying way, but that doesn't mean that perfection has been achieved. And I like that because that's how real life is, too.
I think that, to some extent, it's a good emotional release for the reader because we go through lots of stuff in our own lives, but then we read this and it's like, oh, they've got it so much worse.
Yes.
And so we can just sort of, you know, subvert our negative emotions onto that and get, you know, our emotions worked out by reading about their pain instead of having to deal with our own.
Right. And like I said, half the battle is in the fight. At least they're fighting, you know.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's... I don't mind the darker ending. I like it. I want my ending to be authentic is what I want. So I don't want to see something that's horrible bad and then in, you know, 3 days everything's totally great and the government's overthrown and everything's fantastic and my front lawn is green, you know.
Sunshine and lollipops.
Yeah, it just doesn't work out that way, you know.
So I've noticed that at least in marketing materials and stuff, they never call it science fiction, but most dystopian seems to be a subgenre of science fiction. Do you think that that's just because their marketers are afraid of the term science fiction when it comes to YA these days? Why do you think that they don't call it science fiction?
I don't know, because you know what? People are snatching up. They want science fiction. They want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're always saying, we want YA science fiction, blah, 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 blah. But then they're not calling it that. And I think it's because science fiction, and I could be wrong about this, we should consult Wikipedia, but I think it's because science fiction has hard and fast rules. If you are going to write a science fiction novel, you have to have science in there. And it has to be real science that is like real physics or real, you know, I don't even know other science. Engineering? I don't know. You know, it has to be real science.
But in the dystopian, you guys fudge it a little.
But in the dystopian, you don't have to have anything that's built on real science. You can just say, oh, they have this, and you know what I mean? This is some advanced technology, and I made up a name for it, so I'm going to call it this.
It's
the liquefier
gun, and it melts people into a pool of molecules, and then it can unmelt them back imperfectly.
But I really think that people who write and read science fiction, if your book does not have real science in it, oh, watch out.
But there's soft science fiction and there's hard science fiction.
Yes.
And the hard science fiction, yes, requires that you have science and everything has to conform. But then you have the soft science fiction, which can be based on a world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fantasy, but it could be based on a world or it could be based on a situation that simply is not based in our own world.
Right.
So it sounds like most of this YA dystopian is falling into the soft science fiction category.
It is. It's falling there because young adults like to explore relationships more than they like to do science. So.
Okay, so for people who might be interested in writing their own dystopian story, where should they start?
Like what books should they start?
How do they start writing? What should they do with their mindset to, you know, start thinking about creating their own dystopian world?
Man, I'll tell you this. I am the wrong person to ask for this. Because I basically crack my knuckles and start writing. And so, but if you want to write a dystopian novel, you need a society. You need some sort of society that has, you know, that people can fight against or that people live in. And so with that society, you have to have laws and you have to have rules and you have to have a way that they function. And so, you know, in Wither by Lauren DiStefano, I don't know how to say her name, DiStefano, something like that. You know, the women die by the time they're 20 and the men die by the time they're 25. That's the world. So that's a world that she created. She has a society where that happens and then she has to explain why they die at that age or whatever. You know, it's like a biological thing or whatever. And so you have to decide, what's my world going to be? And then the next question that you have to figure out is, how did our world that we live in right now in 2011 progress to that world? Because most people want to know that. They want to know how our lives could turn into that world. Even if in the back of our head we know it's never going to happen, we want to know, we want to see how that's going to progress.
The 2012 election.
Yeah, exactly, right? So those are the things that you have to decide. What is my society and how did my society evolve into what it is? And then from there, you can pretty much do anything after that.
So let's talk a little bit about your novel. First of all, why did you decide to go ahead and write a dystopian novel?
Well, I read Uglies by Scott Westerfeld in early 2008, and I loved it. I thought, I think Uglies is a great book, and I adore all things Scott Westerfeld, so let's just get a plug in there for him. He's fantastic. I love all of his books, but I read Uglies, and I loved it. And I didn't even know what dystopian was, and I thought, I want to write a book like that. And so I got on the internet, and I figured out what that was, and it was dystopian. You know, he wrote a novel. It takes place in the future, and there's Rusties, and they've used up all the, there's like a bacteria or virus or something in the oil or whatever, and that's how their, you know, society came to be. And so I thought, okay, cool, I just need a society. Here I go. And so for me, it was my question that I asked myself was, what if there was no free choice? No free will, and so that's why I wrote a book about brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
That was
so
my society.
You started with the society. What did you come up with next? Did you come with your characters next?
Yeah. And so then, to me, it makes absolute perfect sense because I don't want anyone telling me what to do. And I am a very good girl. Like, I follow all the rules. Like, if someone asked me to do something in high school, I did it. I made sure my science folder was right in order, you know? When I play video games, if there are 100 coins to be gotten on the level, I get 100 coins. Like, that's the kind of person I am, you know what I mean? If I do something, I am doing it, you know?
That's right. I told her to get rid of her gum before we started recording, and she swallowed it.
That's right, man. I did not mess around.
Said, what gum?
Yeah, what gum? Like, I'm working with my son on his scouts, and I can't understand why he doesn't want to do every requirement. If it were me, I would do every requirement in that book. I'm not even kidding. Like, when I do something, I do it. And so, I can't remember where I was going with this. Oh, I remember now. But I want to do things my way. I don't like it when other people tell me what to do. And so to me, it was very natural to have someone say, no way in Hades am I doing what you tell me to do. And so Vi evolved from that very naturally. And she's very angry, and she hasn't wanted anyone to tell her what to do for quite a long time. And so she came almost immediately, and like I said, I don't plot, and I don't really think that far ahead. I just start writing whatever scene happens to be in my head. And actually, the first scene I wrote is the scene between Vi and Jag where they kiss. It's like page 150 or something in the book.
Because you like kissing.
Because I like kissing.
Heard it here first.
You know? And so that's how she came about. And Jag came right after her. Because I read a lot of YA fiction. I don't know how much YA fiction you guys read or your listeners read, but man, I read YA fiction like crazy. And there's always a bad boy who wears black leather or, you know, drives a motorcycle or something like that.
That's right.
And he always has really witty, you know, commentary. He's always really witty and, you know, they banter or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was real sick of that. And so I wanted to create a bad boy who was actually good. And so Jag is a bad boy, but he's actually good in a lot of ways. And he and Vi fight a lot, too, so he is a little bit on the witty side. But there's no, you know, motorcycle, and there's no, you know, devious past, you know what I mean, with lots of other girls, and he's just like, can I trust him or not, you know? And so I wanted to write a bad boy that wasn't bad, and so he was very organically born as well. So
did your society kind of evolve along with your characters as you were writing?
Well, yeah, because I don't outline, so everything sort of evolves as I go. But Zen and Jag and Vi have always been Zen and Jag and Vi. And so then after that, everything else had to kind of work around them and how they feel about things. Mm-hmm. And so as I would write and I needed some rule to break, then I just made up the rule, like, on the spot, you know? So.
Well, cool. Now, have I read correctly that you're working on a companion novel?
I am. My companion novel is titled Surrender and is going to be out next June. And it takes place in the City of Freedom, which is still in the same brainwashed world. It's narrated by two characters, Gunnar Jameson and Rain Hightower. And so there'll be two characters, alternating points of view. And I will just say that if you've read Possession and are very angry at me, that all of your questions will be answered.
Woohoo!
In Surrender. So
stop the hate mail.
Stop the hate mail right now.
Just mark your calendar.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today, Elena, and for talking about dystopian fiction. And anyone who wants to win a signed copy of Possession, comment under any of our interviews with Elena. Thank you for joining us. This has been Writing Snippets.
No words were harmed in the making of this podcast. Go to www.writingsnippets.com for more podcasts.